for a long time been learning the Inyan of that is really the focal point of the Sefer of Aris HaTaira and this parak in particular, of making that connection between the Torah de la Sata, all of the pratim, the details of Torah that we're learning, and the Torah de la Eila, and the Sherish of Torah above. And all that we've been learning is a hachana to return to the Sefer, which we're going to do in a few minutes. But first, just to end the Hakdama, the hachana, if you look at that page where it says, Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, Darche Ha'avayda, Tess, you see where it says, Rabbanu Shalom, Tess? So this tefillah that's found in the fifth volume of Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, this was originally called Talaz, Shni Talaz, really puts together all that we've been talking about and will be a wonderful way, like the davening, the tefillah before you come to the Bais Medrash, the tefillah before continuing with the Aris HaTaira. Those who have been learning the Inyan with us from the beginning will see how this puts everything together. And those who haven't will see a beautiful tefillah that speaks for itself. Rabbanu Shalom, Ani Makabala, Alatzmi B'li Neder. What the Mechaber here, what Rav Schwartz is talking about, is a way to think when you sit down to learn Torah. And a tefillah that could be on a person's lips, an example, he's not trying to publish new tefillahs. That's not the point. The point is an example of what each and every one of us can think about on a regular day. When we sit down to learn, what we could be thinking about, and what's a healthy way to prepare. What's a healthy way to prepare? You don't have to say tachnu. Now you come. What?
He was here for davening.
Yeah. The oldest one. and if this tefillah would be, or this way of thinking and davening would be the way that we would learn, it would be a different learning. And this connected very much to what we're learning this morning. So an ice test. Rabbanu Shalom, Ani Mekabel Al Atzmi B'li Neder. Rabbanu Shalom, I accept upon myself, Bli Neder, Lenasais Lizkar B'chol Pam Shehinini Hoylech Lulma Desatara Kedosha. Lenasais, to try. Lenasais Lizkar B'chol Pam, to try and to remember each time. Shehinini Hoylech Lulma Desatara Kedosha. To try and to remember each time that I sit down to learn the Torah HaKadosh, your holy Torah. Lo lahaschil lumad miyad bistam. Not to just jump right into the learning, as we've always done all of our lives. You open up a safe and you learn. So the tefillah here is, help me to try to remember. V'chol pam shehinini hayloch lumad es haTorah HaKadosh. Lo lahaschil lumad miyad bistam. That I shouldn't just open up a sefer and to learn b'stam, just like that. Ella tchila l'daber imcha b'chol pam. I should try every time before I sit down to learn. I should try to speak to you b'chol pam each time v'leimer to say. Rabbi Nishlalem, hinin nihaylech la'asoy b'tayros v'hakadosha. Sounds like a strange thing. Rabbi Shlomo, Master of the Universe, I am now preparing, I'm going to learn your holy Torah. That's obvious. Why is that necessary? What's the point of that? But that's exactly what we've been learning the whole time. when we read the words of Rav Kook, and we're going to continue, Mitzvah Shem, and see inside. The main problem that we have is that we're learning the Torah without the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That we become lost in the pratim of Torah and all the details of the sugyas of whatever it is that we're learning, and in the Torah de la Sata, in the Torah below here in this world, and we're not, as we learned last week, we're sending all of the suitcases. Remember, we're sending all the suitcases on the plane, and the suitcases are being sent to the right destination, packed with b'mitzia, b'vakam, b'vasra, packed with years of davening and mitzvah samasim tayhim. The suitcases are being sent ahead, but we ourselves are grounded. We're not going anywhere. Every mitzvah, every piece of Torah, every tefillah, certainly is important in Shemayim, and every single thing, hopefully, especially if there's some feeling of ahav and yira, it takes off. At least the bags are sent ahead. But we ourselves don't feel that we've changed in any way. We haven't changed. So how could that be? The Torah is supposed to make us into great people. And certainly there's nothing wrong with the Torah. And yet, year after year, we don't see that it's changing us. So we've been learning about this. It's when a person learns the Torah without the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, without the Infinite One. When he learns Torah as a matter of interest, understanding, obligation, whatever it might be. And he doesn't think, he doesn't remember, he doesn't ask for that connection between the Torah de la Sata and the Torah de la Eila, the Torah below and the Torah above. It's Parshas Yisro, it's Kabbalah Satara. Kabbalah Satara means Anoichi Hashem Lekecha, that first word of Anoichi, as you know, Chazal taught us, that the letters Aleph, Nun, Chaf, Yud mean Ano, Nafshi, Ksovis, Yehovis. Hashem says, I wrote my soul into these words. Hashem says, Ano, Nafshi. Hashem says, I, Anoichi, Aleph, I, and I know, Nafshi, my soul, Hashem speaking. Ksavis, the Chav, I have written Yehovah's and I have given you. And the Baruch Shalom gave himself in the Torah. He gave himself in the Torah. He's mislabish, as we learned that the word kivyochel is the Chav base, right? Through the 22 letters of the Torah, yochel, a person can connect to Hashem. He's given himself in the 22 letters of the Aleph base. He's given himself in the Torah HaKadoshah. But if a person's entire learning is the material without the Anoichi, if he's learning the rest of the Torah, but he doesn't learn Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Sof Kol Sof, Kol Mitzvesecha Amuna, all the Torah that we learn, all the mitzvahs that we're doing is to bring us to that Nekuda Pnimis of Amuna. And if a person's learning without that, without the Anoichi, even the word Amuna, it's brought down in Chabad Svarim, that Amuna is the Isis Aleph Moneh. Aleph Moneh, which means everything, you count everything from the Aleph. The Aleph means Alufa Shel Olam, the Bari Olam, the creator of the world, is the Aleph. Aleph Moneh, Mem Vav Nun He, means to count, to enumerate. Everything has to connect to the Aleph. Everything has to connect to the Aleph. The person, it could be $1 million, it could be $1 billion, but if he doesn't if he just has the zeros and he doesn't have the one in front, so then it's just a lot of zeros. It's a Rachmanis. But if there's a one in front of all that, then it's pretty good. Then you won the jackpot. That's it. You have the one, and then you have all the zeros. But if you have all the zeros, so then you don't have anything. So Amuna means Aleph Minor. Everything I count with the Aleph at the beginning. Everything I learn every mitzvah that I do, everything in my avodas Hashem, as simple as it sounds, but it's not lemaisa, to always count back to the aleph, to always make that countdown. Like when a person that was a meiser with the Mikla Rebbe from Lubavitch, Slusia Gemalina. I don't remember exactly, but maybe it was one of the other tzaddikim from the tzaddikim from Chabad, that the two sons were having a discussion. The tzaddik's two sons were having a discussion. And the one reported to the father that his brother said that he doesn't see his father. The Rebbe is always talking about the greatness of simple Jews, the greatness of simple Jews. And the one brother snitched on the other brother and said that we were arguing about this, or maybe the father, the Rebbe, overheard. I don't remember the story. And the other brother was saying is that he doesn't see like the pshutim, the simple Jews, like what his father sees. What's so great about them, about simple Jews? So the Rebbe called over that son that had made that comment. He called him over. You know the story. I'm sure you remember the story. You called him over, and he said, go to the barn, whatever they had a barn, and go get whatever his name was, the fellow that works there, the guy that works there, whatever Ivan, Igor, whatever the Russians, whatever. Go bring him over here. So the tzaddik's son, the Rebbe's son, went and he brought over the fella, the worker, and the worker was a big baal derech haaretz. He respected the Rebbe, and the Rebbe asked him, whatever, let's say, Igor, how are you? Everything's fine, Rebbe. He says, Igor, you're a very good worker. He says, I try hard. He says, why do you work so hard? So he said, so Igor said, I work hard so I can get paid. So the Rebbe asked him, and why do you want to get paid? So he said, I want to get paid so I could be able to make a living. And why do you need to make a living? He says, well, if I make a living, I have to be able to buy food, and I have to be able to have a place to sleep. And why why do you have to have food? So he says, Rebbe, I have to live. And the Rebbe said, and why do you have to live? So I have to live so I could be able to go to the bar and to have a drink and to be able to be with my friends and we play cards and to have a good time. It was a Russian peasant. So the Rebbe said, oh, very, very, thank you, very good. And then he told his son to go bring some Porsche to Yid, that also worked over there in the Rebbe's court. Yeah, bro, go bring Maishal. So he brings him. And he goes through the same thing. Says, Rebbe, yeah, Maishal, how are you? Fine, Rebbe. Maishal, you work very hard. Why do you work? So the same thing. I work there to get paid. Well, you make sense to make a living. But you have to make a living. So I have to eat. He says, why do you need to eat? I need to eat so I can live. And the Rebbe asked him, why do you need to live? And it says in the Sefer, then he gave a big krechs, and a tear fell from his eye. And he said, Rebbe, I have hope that I'll do tshuva, and I want to be an elohim for you. That's what he said. I have hope one day to be a good Jew. That's why I want to live. So then his father said to his son, don't you say that again, a pashat yid. What's a pashat yid? There's a big difference. The difference is that you can get lost in all of the details. Sure, you're making a living, you're working. But a yid is able to count back, like that Maishala. He's able to count back, and he asks, if you ask all of the questions, and you finally get to that big question of why do I live? So you got past all of the other stuff with work, and you got past the Super Bowl, right? I don't know if it already was, if it's coming up, but I know it's coming up. This Sunday?
Next Sunday.
Not this Sunday?
This Sunday.
This Sunday. It's good. It means I get much less phone calls when this is the Super Bowl. I look forward to it every year. Come on, no phone calls. So, it's a good day for learning. It's always a very good day. It's very, very quiet. So, a person gets past all of that stuff. It's an interesting thing how on the day of the Super Bowl, no one's worried about their davening and their learning. I don't know, it's on hold. And you get past all of that stuff. And then you get to that question. The question is, so why do you live? You ask yourself, why do I live? That's what it means, emuna. Aleph, mona. You count back to the aleph. Aleph, mona. You count back to anoichi, aleph. See, Bereishis begins with a base. Bereishis means this world. And in this world, too, which begins with two, base, you get lost. You start counting. Once you start counting, you count money, you count places you've been, places you want to go, you count friends, you count. And when you're counting, you get lost. When you count down, so then a Jew doesn't go back to the Beis of Bereishis, he goes back to the Aleph, it's Parshas Yisra. He goes back to the Aleph of Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Aleph. I wrote my soul in the Torah. But if you learn Torah, and all you're learning are the Beis Gimel Dalets of Torah, and you don't learn the Aleph of Torah, so then you can go your whole life learning Torah, and it doesn't make you into a greater person. It doesn't change you. You're learning the Isis, you're learning the letters, and you're saying the Sugyas, and certainly we have to believe, like Pesach Sadeh writes, I mean, it's a samchaim, it gives life. And even if a person is learning, even if he's learning shalai lishma, there's no question that it has an effect on a person. It lifts a person up. It's not chalila that it's nothing. God forbid. It's a chashuv thing. It's a very chashuv thing. But still to wonder, why is it that you don't have any sense of connection, any deep feelings of a hav or a yira? It's when you go only learning without the Aleph. It's interesting how every Gemara begins with Daf Beis, no? What's Daf Aleph? It's an old question. So there are many explanations for that, why it begins with Daf Beis. But what happened to Daf Aleph? So you know, there's a famous story that I've told a number of times over the years, that when the Satmar of Schusa Yelena, when he came to America, so there were only a few at the beginning of the Sheiras HaPlate, the Yidden that came, and the davening, and they had just come, and they were trying to put their lives together, and the Rebbe started giving a Gemara Shia. And whatever Masechta they were learning, they were learning Chavos Bava Metzia, the Rebbe was supposed to give the Shia. And they were like, whatever, seven, eight Jews. They can't imagine. Seven, eight people came to the Satmar of Yisrael Gemara Shia. And they were supposed to start. And instead of starting, the Rebbe starts to ask this, he asks, Beryl, what's doing with that job that you, by the Shia? They open the Gemara and he says, Beryl, what happened with that job? You went to look for that job. These are all survivors of the Holocaust. What happened? So he starts to talk. And the other one, he says, and he asked the other one about this, and did you find that person that you were looking for? You know, it was after the war. And this happened, like there were one or two shiurim that were going like this, and the guys were getting a little bit, some of the guys were getting a little bit, like, on edge. That the Gadol Hador is like schmoozing. And they came, they wanted to learn Bava Metzia, whatever Masechta they're supposed to learn. And he's asking them, like, questions about Panos and their life and what happened. And so somebody actually went over to Rabbi the second shiur, whatever, and said, "What happened to what's it like with Bava Metzia?" So the Rebbe said, the difference between me and you is like this. You want to start with Daf Beis, I have to start with Daf Aleph. Every single person here lost his wife, lost his children, lost his parents. Daf Aleph, I have to first make a person feel like a mensch. You know? Daf Aleph means, how are you? I care about you. Daf Aleph means, Emunah Pshuta. It means, Daf Aleph, whatever. Daf Aleph means the beginning. That's, the Gemara starts with Daf Beis. But if every Gemara you ever learned in your life was missing Daf Aleph, then you could have learned the whole Shas. And you're not necessarily even a Ma'amin. You might not even be a Ma'amin. You learn the whole Shas. But you don't come back to the Aleph. This is what this is about, this tefillah. Rabbi Shalom again. Ani mekabel atzmi b'li neder l'naseis, to try, I accept upon myself b'li neder, to try. Lizkor b'chol pam, to remember each time. Shehinini ha'olech l'umad satar k'dash, each time that I go to learn the Holy Torah. Lo la'haschil l'umad miyad b'stama, miyad b'stama, not to just jump into the learning. Ela t'chila l'dabe imcha b'chol pam, but to begin to speak to you each time. V'laymer to say. Rabbi Shalom, Hinni Harlech Lasek B'Teiras HaKadosha. Rabbi Shalom, I'm not going to read a book. I'm not entering into a contest. I'm not trying to do something that will enable me to slug up my Rebbe and to show that I'm smarter than everybody else in the class. I'm not going to become more educated and informed, although hopefully that will happen. I'm not going to do any of those things. But I'm doing one thing. And in the Helech Lasek, the Torah HaKadosha. I'm going to learn your Holy Torah. If a person begins with this tefillah, with this thought, with this feeling, he's counting back to Aleph. And then you'd be surprised how much more unlikely it would become for guys like to put their feet on the table or to sit with the yarmulke like this, leaning back and breaking another one of the yeshiva's chairs. And like, you know, you'd be surprised. Rav Baruch Ber, he used to always say, everything was heilig. He used to always say everything heilig. He used to say from his Rebbe, heilig Rav Chaim, the heilig Rebbe said like this, heilig, everything holy. It's a different feeling of learning. And those who were sitting there were not attending a lecture in Talmud. They were part of something very great. They were part of that count back to Aleph. They were part of something very big. The Torah de Lasata, for sure. Who said a more complicated Shir than a Baruch Ber? The learning was the deepest learning. But it was always a Heligirashi. When the Rashi, when you understand, and you say that over and over, a Heligirashi, so then you don't say, I hold differently than Rashi, you understand? I hold differently than Rashi. Hinnini hoylech lasek b'dasek, umadua hinnini hoylech lasek b'o? And you have to ask yourself questions. Like by Pesach night. Every good teacher asks questions, and you ask of yourself. The din is that if you're by yourself, it says in the Mishnah, if you're by yourself, you ask yourself. The four kashas, right? So what do you ask? Umadua henini hoylech lasek ba? And I'm about to learn. Oh, why am I taka learning? Why am I learning? It sounds like a silly question. A person's doing this so many years. Why am I learning? Umadua henini hoylech lasek ba? She says, Vadai shitzarach levar lasem maduch b'emes hoylech. Certainly. It's not just a matter of saying words. Certainly the person has to really try to get to the bottom of that and to clarify. Why is he talking going to learn? It goes back to what we were saying this morning. The person that turned around, he's 22 years old and he's sitting in this medrash, they ask himself, why am I learning? Usually a little boy is not, that's not the question of the boy, although it can start, you know, once a person begins to mature.
It's a accomplishment on it.
Yeah. Why am I learning? Certainly, a person should try never to say something that he doesn't feel inside of his heart, to try to be honest. He should try to clarify this point in his heart. Mahu writes about Amos. What does he really want? No, even if there's an outside cheshbon of why he's learning, he doesn't know what else to do. He finds it interesting. He wants to get a good shidduch. Whatever else the cheshbonish could be. But there's still a chelik, there's still something. Even if it's a chelik min ratzon halev, even the guy that has those cheshbonis that are not cheshbonis of lishma, but he still also has a part of him that wants to learn for the right reason. He should say it bepemalei. He should say it clearly. Tokadosh Baruch Hu. To be honest, that's what his baridus is all about, and to say it clearly. Shemargish bleiv kach. Rabbi Shlomo, I have to be honest. In my heart, I have many other reasons why I'm sitting here right now and opening up this sefer. There are many other reasons. Umargish kach. I have these hargoshes, these feelings. But I want to be able to have the right frame of mind, the right feeling when it comes to learning. To be truthful. I'm not talking about just stam, another thing that's printed. You're gonna cut it out and paste it on top of the Gemara, and it becomes something that's already another printed thing that you just say because you have to say it. No, be'emes. Shida be'emes. The Dervish Garm Leikon LeNeged Einai. The Baruch Shalom doesn't want liars. He doesn't like to look at liars. You say the truth. Even though we have different cheshbonos, but there is something still inside Mibnei Shehinin the rights Elias Karav. The Iker is, and I want to feel this way, that my point in learning Torah, and going now into the Torah de Lasata, and learning this complicated sugya in Yevamos and Ksubos, and going to all the Rishonim, and to getting into all the Prote Protim, the details of this learning, is because I want to be closer to you. And they say, he writes, Elias Karav, Vedovuk Elacha, to be attached to you. Vayidei Esak HaTayra, Hinini Reitzel Eskar V'Lecha. And that through learning Torah, I want to be close to you. Tizaka Oisi, She'ezkel Ezer. I'm asking you. Tizaka Oisi, be mezaka me, help me, She'ezkel Ezer, that I should be zaycheh to this. And that's the heart. It's a hard thing, but it means that this person is counting back to Aleph when he learns. That changes your life. Even by Maimon HaSinai, this Shabbos, this parasha, Vayanu, it says they were trembling, and then what does it say? Vayamdu Mirachayk, and they stood far away. And everybody knows what the Sfarim HaKadoshim say about that. Vayanu Vayamdu Mirachayk. That there's such a thing that a person trembles, but he's still far away. That a person can, vayanu, by Marman HaSinai, there was still such a thing as vayam de mirachayk. It's possible for a person to be trembling with excitement over something that you're hearing, over something that you're learning. That you never heard anything as amazing as this. You're learning, and you hear something unbelievable. But still, at the end of the day, vayam de mirachayk, you're still standing far away. How did that change you? How did that make you into a better person? You're not counting back to the Aleph. When a person counts back to the Aleph, emuna. And when you enter into your learning with such a way, and you ask Hashem to help you, that should get closer to you. Even by Maimon HaSinai is Vayam Demirachayik. But a person can't get closer. The point of Torah is to bring us closer. V'chem b'soich ha'limud. We spoke a little bit about this months ago. Because here, there's a, even though Nefesh Chaim also talks about this here, how much and when, there are some chilukah days by the tzaddikim. But even during the learning, we saw that even Nefesh Chaim says, v'chem b'soich ha'limud. Hareini roitze liska b'chol pam, madu hinini oisek. So before you learn, you could say, help me to remember during the learning. Not to forget. That doesn't mean that I shouldn't be able to concentrate on what I'm learning. And every now and then, to stop for a second. And nobody else has to know that. You don't have to stand up and close your eyes and hit in your eyes. Just quietly. For a person to stop. Help me to remember. Why am I learning Torah? Except when it comes to mitzvahs, he talks about, we're not going to obviously be focused on Liban HaTorah, but he talks about that, you'll see in Yudalafi base, when it comes to doing mitzvahs. A person's doing a chesed. That's also Torah D'Lasata. He's doing a nice thing. What are you doing? Guys, your friend needed to be picked up from the station or something. I don't know. You're going to do a favor, a taiva for you. Stop, you're a nice person. You do taivas. So all these are doing taivas haven't made you closer to Hashem. How could that be? Hey, you're doing the Ratzon Hashem. You're doing taivas for people. You're a good person. You're helping to prepare for a Shavuot brachas. And you're a good son, you're a good daughter, and you help your parents. You know, all the good things. So where's the dveikus? If a person would take 10 seconds when he's going in the car to take 10 seconds to go to pick up the person, to do a taiva, to say, why am I doing this taiva? Just because I'm a nice guy? I hope that I'm a nice person, but why am I doing this? Because I want to give nachas ruach to the Bari Olam. I want to do something that's pleasing to the Creator of the world. I want to do something good that gives nachas ruach to Hashem's book. I want to be a yid. That means you're counting back to Aleph. Otherwise, you're a nice guy that's giving a lift, which is good. But to change you, to make you different, you have to count back to Aleph. That's how the Torah was given. Then you do a simple thing, a simple Torah for a person. But it's not simple anymore. Now it's molar v'godesh, it's filled, it's packed with emunah. Kol mitzvasecha, kol mitzvasecha emunah. Kol mitzvasecha emunah. So David HaMelech said that. The whole tachlis is emunah. Every person does. Ulekach pam lechatzi shor le'erech, and in he writes it lizkos eyes. A person takes off time from the day. He's talking about a person who's learning all day, not someone who has an hour to learn a day, to take off a half hour to think about this. To take off some time and to think. Hini writes a Lizkazois. B'meshach hazman is the current tzarach l'tzam tzam. In the beginning, you need to take more time to focus on that and to daven for that. And over time, you could take a minute here and there. Everybody has time for this. Any Rosh Hashiva that says there's no time for that is making a fatal mistake. This time. Meshach Hazman is a current circle that's time same, the Dakai Svil Smam. It comes down a few minutes here and there. Vazikor and Paul Mimelo, because you're in that Mahalach. So when you take off a minute to think or to say something, you're already in the Mahalach. So Mimelo, it's Paul that it brings you into that Sugi of Aleph. Shahadover ye chai etzli. Ask Hashem, Shahadover ye chai etzli. It should be alive by me. Meaning what? That this clarity, this feeling, this sense of purpose that takes me back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with what I'm doing, it should be alive inside of me. It shouldn't be just a stam, detached. It should be connected. It should be something, as we spoke about a few weeks ago, when it's connected, it's alive. When it's not connected, then it dies. It's like a tree. As long as it's connected, it's alive. And when it's alive, then it grows. If it's not connected, it doesn't grow. So why don't we grow? How can we look at ourselves and we're the same over the years? Because it's not chai etzleinu. It's not alive by us. Shekol ma'ashani loymed uv'chadei liyos karvei lecha. Everything that I'm learning, and all that I'm learning is for the purpose of getting closer to you. And if I forget this, I'm not going to be misyayish. If for some time I don't think about it, I'm not going to give up. And also, I'll try again. If I forget and it slips, I'll try again. And I beg you, Hashem, sheta'azreni, that you help me. V'taski lizayis kol hazman, remind me. I have a bad memory. Remind me all the time. Ad asher hadover yikova b'nafshi ma'od. Until it becomes fixed and permanent inside of me. And then he continues in Yud. We're not going to go over and say, b'chalik ha'tayr, hein hein dvar ma'umir tefil, the same thing. When it comes to that, you think, well, why would a person have to say such a thing when it comes to davening? Why am I davening?
We do that. Yeah? We do that. Before we daven, we have introduction to davening.
It also becomes, anything that's printed becomes just a matter of rote, of saying words. It shouldn't be that way. The person has to himself put himself in that. Otherwise, you could say, you could say the tefillahs or from the Noam of the Melech, whatever it is, and you could still be walking around yawning and now you know it by heart, and you're saying the same way you say Ashrei. So, a person has to. But if a person begins with Aleph, then the Ashrei could also be different. They could also be different. That's where the tefillahs begin. They go in the Seder of Aleph base. And it could also be different. And then in Yud Aleph he says, before you do, like I said before you do something, Gemilas Chesed also. You could give Staka, you could do something, but Staka. But that you shouldn't do it that way. Okay, don't do it that way. You start for a second, and again for a second, it takes a second. I just stop for a split second. I stop for a second and I say, "Hidden the oisa gemilas chesed zu lemanis karvelach." I'm giving this quarter into the pushka. Liskarvelach. That's the connection between the Torah de la Sata and the Torah de Leila. Now let's go back into the Eretz Torah with that intention. This Karev Elav Yisbarach. Per Gimel Ois Beis. We'll just be able to get started, but I figure it's better than not getting started. Page Yutes. It's very, very hard. With the Oris HaTshuva, there were some outdated, archaic English translations that are around that I was able to, when there was something that was particularly hard that I was able to try to figure out by looking at the translations, even though there's a lot of inaccuracies. But here, we're on our own. So, any time that you feel that with any of the translating, I'm not talking about anything fancy. Obviously, my English is not fancy, even though my parents spent so much money on it. It's not. But so I'm not talking about a fancier word, because I don't care about that. That's silly. But it could be totally off. So if you have a different idea, as I've said in the past, that you should, don't be shy. If there's a different way that you understand it, because there's, I have no other way of understanding this other than if we learn it together. And I don't know if I'm right or wrong, just through learning together. We could try to figure it out, because it's always hard with Rav Kook. Very, very hard. Kshemalim hadvarim oizbeiz. Kshemalim hadvarim lemala the behirus hakavana. This is exactly what we were just learning. Kshemalim hadvarim lemala, when I lift up all of the details of my learning and of my life. Everything we're talking about learning applies to life as well. When I lift up kshemalim hadvarim lemala, when I lift everything up, remember, here we are in this world, in the Torah de Lasata. When I lift kshemalim hadvarim lemaila, when I lift it up, the dehirus hakavana, with a clarity of kavana, of intent. Kavana, as you know, also means kivun, means direction. It means to aim something. Kivun means direction. A person can look at a pretty lake or a nice mountain. We don't have so much like that around in New York. I mean, there are. I mean, outside of the city, but maybe there's some nice places around here too. But if you go to other places, you can look at the lake, and it's just a lake, de Lasata. That's all. It's just a lower lake. If you're able to be male hadover lamala bebehirus hakavana, if you're able to aim, then you could look at the lake and you could aim it, and then you see that for every beautiful mountain or lake in this world, there's that which is dila'ela. And the dila'ela means echad mina, means the echad yochad umiyuchad, the ein sof baruch hu, the boyrek hakol, who's the creator of this lake, and who gave me this moment to be able to connect to him and to feel his greatness by admiring the beauty of this lake. Everything is kshemalim hadvarim lamala bebehirus hakavan. You have to have good aim. But to lift everything up, the behirus hakavana. When you do that, then mitaysefes tamid yidia ba'oisha hamitzias ha'elyon. Then there's constantly being added more of an awareness of the great wealth of that higher existence, of the great wealth ba'oisha hamitzias ha'elyon, that unbelievable wealth of the Metzius Ha'elyon. V'cheshek ahavas oylem v'ahava rabba, and you're filled with a tremendous yearning, a cheshek, a longing. V'cheshek ahavas oylem v'ahava rabba. Now there's a difference between ahavas oylem and ahava rabba. That's a very big subject in the Svarim HaKadoshim. And you know that there are different schois even in the davening in the morning, whether to say ahavas oylem or ahava rabba. And in the Svarim HaKadoshim, it's a very big inyan. We're not going to go into that right now. Ahavas Olam through this world of Ahava Rabba. But certainly Rav Kook is very medayik in every word. And why he says both, Ahavas Olam through the world, and Ahava Rabba, abundant love, great love. Ahavas Olam, the Cheshek Ahavas Olam v'Ahava Rabba. La'or ein soif, for the light of the infinite one. This cheshek, the cheshek ahavas oylem v'ahava rabba, la'or ein soif, this feeling of ahavas oylem and ahava rabba, for the light of the Infinite One is Mizbasemes Be'eden HaChayim. Mizbasemes becomes fragrant. Is there a word like that? Yeah. It has a beautiful smell. Mizbasemes, Chai Vinish Livsume Bapuria. Intoxicated. Mizbasemes, like perfume, becomes everything becomes coated with a fragrance of Eden Achayim, of the Eden, of the paradise, the Eden of life. The Eden Achayim. The same Torah that you would have learned wouldn't have had any of that. The same lake that you saw, it was nice. The Torah was also beautiful. But it didn't have the Ahavas Olam, the Ahava Rabba for the Infinite One that gives everything that delicious smell. Mizbasemes be'eden hachayim. The Eden hachayim. Leibedik. Just like we were learning right before, a minute ago in the Bilvavi. Chai etzli. It's alive. When something is dead, it starts to smell bad. That's how it is. You ever notice how one of the worst smells in the world comes from old flowers? You ever have that in your house? That they stick around for a little bit too long? It's a horrible smell. And I have a very sensitive smell, nose. And I'm the first one in the house, and I say, when am I going to get rid of those? You know? So it started off, wow. There's nothing in the world that smells as beautiful as that. It's wonderful. But if it's not alive, when it was still fresh and it was still alive, so the whole house was misbasing. Was misbasing. But if it's not alive, it's like they make those deodorizers that they put in rooms where you lift it up a little bit and it has some stuff underneath. They have different flavors. You know what I'm talking about? These cones, you lift it up a little bit. Then you see in your house, there's one that's been there for 4 years. It's like, all right, that maybe doesn't have a bad smell. I don't know afterwards. But you see there's nothing that's cones. But when you have something that was really alive, that was never really alive. When you have something that was really, a flower was once alive. An animal was once alive. Can you imagine you have Mishagoyim, a person says, They come to the house and you pass out from the smell, and he says, well, I really loved my grandfather, and I felt, you know, I don't want to tell the end of the story, that we wanted to keep him around, you know, this 120. But I don't mean his 120, I mean my 120. So the whole place smells. Well, something is, that was a pretty, you don't like that, Marshall, huh? The girls didn't go for that one. That's why there's a mechitz, you understand? But we could appreciate this. Sadistic, disgusting humor. So something was alive, and now it's not alive. It stinks. It smells bad. All the flies and the cockroaches come over there. It doesn't smell good. When something is connected to the Ein Sof, to the Infinite One, oh, it smells good. When you have a Ben Torah, and that Ben Torah is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything that he does is Gan Edendik. Everything. Everything is Gan Eden. When you have a Poshet Yid who thinks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want to see something, take a look, there's something very beautiful. Any of you get to Hamadiyah? Mm-hmm. Take a look. In this week's Hamadiyah, there's a two-page article. Like a zikaron, there was a yid that I remember. In the Satmar Shul in Radni, Wurzburg, a Chaskel Wurzburger. A parsha to yid. It's kedai to look at this. It's two pages. I don't remember which of the section. I think it's maybe the I don't remember which one. Community. I think two pages. Two pages on this on a Chaskel Wurzburger. I saw them in 100 times. He was the shamus in the Satmar Shul in Williamsburg. I was reading this late last night, this thing on Chazkel, and I kept on saying to my wife, the problem is she was sleeping. But I kept on saying to her, I said, Michli, you gotta see this. This is so sweet this season, huh? But this Chazkel Wurzburg is the sweetest thing. And the guy that wrote it so sweetly. It was written in such a sweet way. Because he loved this Reb Chazkel, and he wrote, like in the middle, every once in a while, he would say, in the writing, it says, ah, ah. He would just write, ah, ah. Because that's how this Reb Chazkel was. He was a poshut to Yid. I remember him. There was tumulting with this and that, and the Chazkel Wurzburg, just to read about this. You know, you read stories about the Gedolim, and those are inspiring in a certain way. But for us, we feel like, okay, I'm not going to be a Rav Aaron Cutler. I'm never going to be like this, these people. But Rav Chazkel, everything is Gan Eden by this Rav Chazkel. Everything that he did was Gan Eden. Even when he yelled at some kid for spilling something in the shul, and then he would give him a pinch and a candy or something, it was all Gan Eden. When you meet a Jew like that, from where does the smell of Gan Eden come? It's like that with every garden. If it's connected. If the stuff's not connected, then roses begin to smell terrible. When we say that the Torah is either a Sam Chaim, or could be, God forbid, a Sam that's not so good, it could either be something that gives life, or it could be something that, God forbid, can make a person smell even worse. There's such a thing. When a person's Vayamdu Mirachai, when a person stands far away, Vehibitu Elav Vinaharu. Those who look at him, that's from Tilum. We say that in Davening every Shabbos. Vehibitu Elav Vinaharu. Those who look at him, at Hashem, become radiant. See what Rav Kook is saying. Those who look at him, those who remember the Aleph, those who learn Torah with the Aleph, with Daf Aleph, those who do a mitzvah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those who do a chesed and they remember Hashem, they're looking at him. They're looking at God all the time in their lives. He be to Elov. What happens when you look at God? When you look at God? Vinaharu. Those who look at him, vinaharu, they become radiant. They start to shine. That's what I was saying about this Chazkel. Those who look at him. Those who look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he beat to Elav and Aharu. You can learn Torah without looking at him. You can do a mitzvah without looking at him. You can do a ches without looking at him. Fine, it's good. But over time, it can begin to even decay. But if you look at him, Ein Sof, Cheshek Ahavis Olam V'Ahav Rab Lor Ein Sof Misbasemes Be'Eden Achayim. That everything is misbasem. It becomes fragrant, with the Eden HaChaim, with the sweetness of life. V'hibitu Elav V'naharu. So we'll end in a good way, because the opposite of that is Behesach HaDas, when one doesn't think, then what happens? So we'll continue Be'ez HaShem next week.